I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 22, Be Ye Not Unequally Yoked Together. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and I share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family, activity suggestion, or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to everyone who has left me 5 stars and or a review on iTunes. That helps get the word out. And if you haven't done so yet, please do. Just hit that 5 stars button below or leave me a quick review if you're on the iTunes app. And if you're listening on my blog, you know, that's awesome too. Feel free to share it with a friend or on your favorite social media app. I'd really appreciate it. And for all those who have emailed me and even some of my friends who have texted me thanking me for my podcasts and my posts, I just want to say thank you. Your kind words mean the world to me. Today's topic is, be ye not unequally yoked together. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for September 9th through the 15th. Now, what do the following set of words have in common? Tall and short, lion and mouse, hot and cold, sickness and health, beautiful and ugly, forest and desert, and pickles and blueberry pie. You could also add to this list, according to my teenage daughter, The Rock and Justin Bieber, or according to my husband, the Ford Mustang and the Ford Pinto. Now, as you can probably guess, these are all opposites. They are two things that don't go together. In the scriptures, Paul also talks about a pair of opposites that just don't go together. And that is the righteous and the unrighteous. In fact, he pretty much warns us about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Very true. We should not yoke ourselves together with an unbeliever because we are not equal. Now, that is not me trying to sound stuck up or prejudiced here, and neither is Paul. The point he is making is, it is because we are opposites. The righteous and the unrighteous are not compatible, just as light and darkness aren't compatible. To prove his point even further, he brings up 2 more sets of opposites in verse 15, which reads, "What concord hath Christ and Belial?" I think I'm saying that right. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Now, Belial is pretty much Satan. It means wickedness. And an infidel is an unbeliever or one believes in false gods. So here he brings up, to make his point even more, he asks, you know, what harmony does Christ and Satan have? Or when has a believer ever agreed with an unbeliever? These are pairs that just don't go together. And then in 16, he brings up 1 more to finish making his point when he says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temples of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Here again, 2 things that don't go together, the true temples of God and temples with idols. And then he ends with, in verse 17 and 18, Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So he ends with the reminder that if we will leave these associations that take us away from Christ, then we will become family with God, or in other words, we will be exalted. Now, some of you may be thinking, but how can I be a good example or a good member missionary if I separate myself from the unrighteous? How is that Christ-like? Isn't that kind of rude? Now, all of those are very good questions. And my answer to you is, not if it jeopardizes your spiritual well-being. To explain, I want to discuss three types of people I believe that could fall into the category of the unrighteous that we should separate ourselves from. One, there are those that persecute the innocent and good people of the world. Second, certain friends and family. And third, unbelievers that we willingly choose to yoke ourselves to. All right, the first one, those that persecute the innocent and good people of the world. These are those that are just plain evil. They are the ones we hear about on a regular basis on the news. You know, every time we hear of shootings and bombings and brutal murders or abuse. And 99% of the time, these crimes are committed because of the hatred in their hearts. They have little to no light of Christ left in them at all. These are definitely unbelievers we should not yoke ourselves to. And I'm sure you're thinking, duh, who would? But let me explain further. Sometimes these crimes are done by people who started out thinking the same thing. Oh, I'd never do that. But then they yoke themselves to people or groups whose teachings oppose those accepted by the church. And before they know it, they've gotten in way over their head. They've exposed themselves to so much evil and their actions reflect it, and the light of Christ can no longer be with them. And they end up having so much hatred in their hearts that they then commit crimes that at one time they never thought they would. Now, there are also those people or groups that join together out of revenge for those who commit evil acts. They get so upset with them that they then try to get revenge or have them pay for what they've done. Both are types of unbelievers that we need to be aware of and make sure that we do not yoke ourselves to. Both are people with hatred in their hearts, hatred being the opposite of what Christ teaches us to have. Every one of us are exposed to these kinds of hatred and evil acts done by others. And, you know, there's no getting around it unless you hide in a cave, maybe. Some way or other, constantly seeing it and hearing about it, it does affect us. And eventually it does take a toll on each of us, especially when a crime happens close to home or even, heaven forbid, to us personally. Even though we have not consciously yoked ourselves to these types of unbelievers, we still must choose how we will react, how we'll feel about it, how we'll treat these kind of unbelievers that we come in contact with. In the teachings of Joseph F. Smith, we learn that for much of President Joseph F. Smith's life, he witnessed severe persecutions directed at the church and its members. And he was repeatedly harassed by those who opposed the church. But despite this abuse, he went about his affairs peaceably, not fearing and rarely responding to his enemies. Enemies who he described as not mine, but his whom I am trying to serve. He was a great example of not yoking himself to unbelievers, but still managed to love them and forgive them, just as Christ would. In a discourse given by President Joseph F. Smith, he talks about how he loves his enemies and those who have trespassed against him, and how we should too. He said, quote, "I do not love them so that I would take them into my bosom or invite them to associate with my family or that I would give my daughters to their embraces, nor my sons to their counsels. I do not love them so well that I would invite them to the counsels of the priesthood and the ordinances of the house of God, to scoff and jeer at sacred things which they do not understand. But I love them so much that I would not hurt them. I would do them good. I would tell the truth about them. I would benefit them if it was in my power. And I would keep them to the utmost of my ability from doing harm to themselves and to their neighbors. I love them that much, but I do not love them with that affection with which I love my wife, my brother, my sister, or my friend. There is a difference between the love we should bear towards our enemies and that we should bear towards our friends. We do not love to associate with our enemies, and I do not think the Lord requires us to do it. We should keep ourselves aloof from the wicked. The dividing line should be distinctly drawn between God and Belial, between Christ and the world, between truth and error, and between right and wrong. We ought to cleave to the right, to the good, to the truth, and forsake the evil. What affinity can we have for them? Let them alone. Let them go their own way. Help them to all the happiness that it is possible for them to attain in this world, for it will be all that they will ever get, unless they repent of their sins and forsake their wicked ways. Unquote. That is how we have Christ-like love for them, yet at the same time not being unequally yoked together. Now, the next type of unrighteous people that I believe Paul could be referring to when it comes to not being unequally yoked is certain friends and sometimes even family members. To protect our own spiritual well-being, there comes a time when we have to set boundaries even with those we love. Now, I don't want anyone to turn this into, oh, good, Melanie's giving me permission not to associate with so-and-so because I just really don't like them. No, that's not what I'm saying. This is, as Paul said, the unrighteous. Someone who is forcing you or persuading you to do evil, to go against what the church stands for, to go against the teachings of Christ. It could also be someone who is not honoring their priesthood and have caused you harm, physically or emotionally. It could also include those who have no desire whatsoever to join the church and oftentimes ridicules the church and you. Anyone who is causing us spiritual harm, we have got to set boundaries. We have to set a line as to how close we will let them be to us. We can still keep them in sight, but we don't have to let them get too close. We don't have to invite them to our innermost circle of relationships. Those should be reserved for those who will lift us up and make us a better person, not ones who have the potential to bring us down. Because in the end, we take the risk of having that relationship have a more damaging effect on us than it will have a positive effect on them. Thus the words of Paul, separate yourselves, be ye not unequally yoked together. Now, if you follow Hank Smith on social media, you know that he has talked about this. And Hank Smith, he is just awesome. He's someone I look up to. And he is so funny and just a great spiritual motivational speaker. And besides being such a great speaker, he's also an author, a dad, and he teaches religion at BYU. With that said, I want to share with you some of his words of wisdom that he has made on this subject, because I think he makes some very good points. And I'm going to just read some of his posts. He says, quote, "We are supposed to be our brother's keeper, but we are not required to be our brother's doormat. Being Christ-like means being tolerant and forgiving. However, Jesus had boundaries. When Nazareth tried to kill him, he never returned. He told Peter when he had crossed a line. He called out leaders for hypocrisy. He refused to speak to Herod. Clear boundaries are Christ-like. You can forgive someone and move on without them in your life. You can say, I forgive you. I hope you are happy. I wish you the best. Goodbye. To think you have to return to a potentially cruel and painful relationship in order to forgive is simply not true. Some relationships need to be severed in order for everyone involved to move forward and heal. the trauma of betrayal can be too overwhelming to be able to be in close proximity to the betrayer. This doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. It means you are trying to keep yourself emotionally, physically, and spiritually healthy for those you love. And last one, don't spend time and energy on someone who frequently makes you feel like you are a difficult person to love. If someone continually hurts you or devalues you, it is probably time to show them the door out of your life. The best apology is changed behavior. Enabling abuse is not Christ-like. Unquote. Let me repeat the words of Paul one more time. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not let those who are spiritually poisoning get close to you. Separate yourselves. Don't try to mix. Like I said before, it'd be like trying to mix water and oil. It just doesn't work. Now to follow up with the words from one of our church leaders, let me quote Elder Holland when he said, quote, Jesus did not say you are not allowed to feel pain or sorrow from the shattering experiences you have had at the hand of another. Nor did he say, in order to forgive fully, you have to re-enter a toxic relationship or return to an abusive, destructive circumstance, unquote. If there is someone in your life that you feel you need to separate yourself with, counsel with the Lord and let him help you to know what boundaries to set, and then with his help, do it. And lastly, the third type is unbelievers that we willingly choose to yoke ourselves to. And by this, I'm referring to the footnote of 14a in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, interfaith marriage and temporal marriage. So basically, marrying outside the church or with someone of a different faith. To me, you know, this can sometimes be a touchy subject. It's very tender to some people. So let me just share a quote or two from our church leaders. This quote comes from President Ezra Taft Benson when he said, quote, if someone wants to marry you outside the temple, whom will you strive to please, God or a mortal? If you insist on a temple marriage, you will be pleasing the Lord and blessing the other party. Why? Because that person will either become worthy to go to the temple, which would be a blessing, or will leave, which could also be a blessing, because neither of you should want to be unequally yoked. Unquote. You know, my own personal observation, I have seen too many young women who have yoked themselves together with a guy who isn't a member of the church, but they have high expectations that they will one day join the church. And that saddens my heart. I honestly wish that those young women could see their lives 10 years down the road and see what their life really is going to be like. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes it does happen. But my advice is, if an individual is that good and has led you to believe that they will one day join the church, let them join the church first. And most of all, don't settle. Don't settle because you can't find anyone else. Don't settle because at the moment no member of the church has shown you any interest. Don't. It's not worth it. And one of my favorite quotes on this is from LeGrand Richards when he said, quote, we met this young lady, she came up here to the Y, and I suppose that her parents felt just like all your parents, that it would be the place where she could find a good, faithful Latter-day Saint as a companion. She started keeping company with a young man who had been baptized, but he was not active in the church. Then he finally got serious and proposed to her. Do you know what she said? She said, I will never marry a man who does not honor his priesthood and his membership in the church. I am going to be able to point to my children and say, you follow your father. Their courtship ended right there. He was not willing to pay the price. My, how you admire a girl who knows what it takes to find happiness in this world. Unquote. In closing, let us take Paul's counsel to heart and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Following this counsel is not being rude. It is protecting our spiritual well-being. Like oil and water, there are certain opposites that just don't mix. Like light and darkness or Christ and Satan, there are some things that just don't go together in harmony. Now, that doesn't mean we cannot love them, for we can. We can still love them and we can treat them with kindness, but we don't have to be yoked together. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, a word from one of my affiliates. My affiliates provide the means to keep my blog and podcast up and running, so I am grateful to them and to you. I'm sure you've heard of Amazon, the one place you can buy everything. But did you realize that includes great books by church authors and church music, Christian home decor, missionary supplies, and more? I have a whole page dedicated to all the great stuff you can get on Amazon that is church related, and they are all at great prices with eligible 2-day Prime shipping. This works great for those who don't live by a Deseret bookstore and don't want to pay the extra cost of shipping. Be sure and check it out at melanieslibrary.com/Amazon. All right, now on to the Family Home Evening suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use Family Home Evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast. Simply go to www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme22 to sign up. All right, some suggested songs. You could do the primary song, I Love to See the Temple, or the hymn, Come Along, Come Along. And then for an attention getter, show pictures of opposites, like I mentioned, light and darkness, forest and desert. I have some on my blog post that you can use, and talk about how these are opposites. They just don't go together. Then I also have instructions on how to do a really cool yet very simple water and oil experiment that demonstrates how water and oil just don't mix. Do it and point how, like some opposites, water and oil just don't go together. Then mention how Paul talked about a set of opposites that shouldn't be put together also. And this is where you will read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And be sure your family knows what it means to be yoked to something, like the oxen are sometimes yoked together. And also be sure your family knows what Belial means and infidel. And then for some discussion questions, you can ask, what are all the opposites that Paul points out? Who was Paul warning us against being yoked with? And of course, you talk about the righteous with the unrighteous, total opposites that shouldn't be joined together. And then you can ask what dangers could exist if we were to be yoked with unbelievers. And then you can ask, who are some people that might fall in this category? Who do you think are considered unrighteous or unbelievers? And this is where you can mention those who are evil, those whose teachings oppose those accepted by the church, but how they can also include certain friends and sometimes family members. And this is where you can share some quotes by Hank Smith and also the one by Elder Holland. And then also point out the footnote for 14a and how it says interfaith marriage and temporal marriage. And then you can also ask, what is the danger of marrying outside the covenant? And lastly, ask, when have you felt blessed because you separated yourself from a situation that could have led you away from the Lord? And this would be a great time to share one of your own personal experiences, if you have one. And bear your testimony of the importance of not being unequally yoked to unbelievers and how it's your spiritual well-being that is in danger if you do so. And then for an activity, everyone stands up. You have a designated person to call out words, and then everyone else has to act out the opposite of that word. For example, the person who calls out, they could say, stop. And what's the opposite? Everybody then goes or walks around. They could say down, and then everybody jumps. They could say cold, and everyone acts like they're hot. Say kick, and everyone punches. They could say drink, and then everyone acts like they're eating, and so forth. And anyone who gets caught not doing the opposite is out of the game. And you keep going until you have one person left or everyone is exhausted. All right, and on to our teaching tip. When it comes to Come Follow Me, whether it's for personal, family, or for Sunday school, my teaching tip today is get familiar with all the study helps out there. There are so many. I mean, just on your phone alone, you have the Gospel Library, which is a fantastic resource. Have you ever taken a moment and gone through all the many things the Gospel Library app has to offer besides just looking up a scripture? I mean, it has magazines, music, videos, topics. It has a wealth of resources and information. There's also the Sacred Music app, the Media app, which are both fantastic. There's also an app for youth. Not only that, there's also other resources such as the Come Follow Me manual. Have you ever read the teaching tips that they always include at the bottom of each week? Or there's so many great scripture study books and commentaries that are available on Amazon or at Deseret Bookstore. You know, and there's also a lot of great resources that you can find in Facebook groups. Some of my favorite Facebook groups include the Come Follow Me 2019 for Individuals and Families, Keeping It Simple, or Come Follow Me for Families by Chicken Scratch, or there's also the one by Love, Pray, Teach, or one that's called Come Follow Me Lessons, Teach, Learn, Share. There are so many great resources out there. There's so much that we can learn. It's just amazing. And what an enriching experience it can be when you search for more understanding and meaning with all the many different resources available. And thank you for using my podcast as one of your resources. That means a lot. All right. And last, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. A few weeks ago, I shared some Would You Rathers scripture style that I really liked, and I said that I'd share more in a future episode. Well, here's that future episode. These come from the blog called Or So She Says, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes if you want to print them out. But here it goes. 1, would you rather be in the stable when Jesus was born or be in the tomb when Jesus was resurrected? 2, would you rather build a temple or construct an ark? 3, would you rather help create the earth or be able to heal the sick? 4, would you rather eat manna from heaven or take a bite of the fruit from the tree of life? 5, would you rather be in the rainstorm that flooded the earth or experience 3 days of total darkness? And the last one, would you rather be taught at the feet of Jesus or be visited by an angel? All right, that is all for today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review. Have yourself a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.